Hello, everyone. This is James Sagerton. I'm the chair of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. We apologize for the delay. That was my doing. Had a little difficulty getting on in a timely way this evening. But here we are. We're going to convene as we believe we have a quorum. Arpal, would you take the roll, please?
Okay. This is, as far as I know, the composition of the committee right now. Please answer up when you hear your name. Teresa Allen? Sharon Adams?
Here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Here.
Kamau Harris?
Here.
Julie Hewitt?
Here.
Arpal Martin here. James McFadden? Dawn Kelly McPherson. James Sagerton.
Here.
I am here. I'm sorry. I was so muted. McPherson.
Is that
here.
Sean Kelly McPherson?
It is. Sorry.
Okay. All right. That's seven. You have a quorum.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. And I will let everyone know that I did speak to Teresa Allen just moments ago, and she did inform me that she would be a little late, but she will be here. And perhaps we'll wait till she arrives. I did want everyone to introduce themselves. As we just got the results at 1:14 a.m. Eastern Time this morning of the results of the PNB elections to the committees. And so we have four PNB members returning and one new one, and that is Teresa. She's a former member of the committee, and as I say, she will be joining us later, so we can do that little round of introductions when she gets here. So the meeting is convened. We've had the roll call. Now we go to adopt the agenda. I will read the agenda. It is number one, convene meeting. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt agenda. Number four, the minutes, 5 minutes. Number five, review of the central services formula, 30 minutes. Number six, report from the executive director. Number seven, set annual meeting dates. Number eight, select budget timelines. Number nine, adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Arpal.
Items six, seven, and eight don't have times on them.
Uh-huh.
Would it be good if we put some on there?
That would be good. Why don't we put the usual 15 minutes for the executive director? She can use as much or as little of that as she chooses. And Arpal, would you like to decide? I mean, would you like to offer an estimate of setting the annual meeting dates? 10 minutes?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it should take 2 minutes. It may take 10 times that. I don't know what people have in mind.
Why don't we throw 10 in there and see what happens?
10 minutes? Okay.
Sure. I feel exactly as you do about that, and we'll see. And then number eight was select budget timelines. You know, we've had them. I guess Teresa hasn't seen what we were looking at, but she's seen them in the past. And I'm hoping we can pick one rather quickly. Do you think 10 minutes for that?
Is that 10 minutes?
Yeah, I think, you know, we'll see. We can always expand. But, yeah, I thought maybe we could do that quickly.
Okay,
thank you, Arpal. So is there any discussion of the agenda?
Mr. Chair, this is Chris Corey. I do have a question.
Yes,
so
Chris, go ahead.
I have approximately 1 hour before I have to leave. Does that seem like a reasonable amount of time to get through the first four items to the item in question?
I believe it does. I think we'll zoom through them pretty quickly, in fact.
Okay.
This is item number three, and so we only have the minutes after this, and then we go to you.
Okay.
Again, and
perfect.
Keeping with our policy to do guests first after the necessary preliminaries. So, yes.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you, James. Okay. No further questions.
Coming. Thank you. So, any other discussion on the agenda? Any objection to the agenda? Good. We'll consider that done. Now the minutes. Paul, I understand we have some minutes.
Yes. I move that we approve the minutes of the January. The right one? I picked up the wrong one. Okay, the January 10th, 2023 NFC meeting.
Thank you, Paul. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, is there any objection? Hearing none, thank you very much. That's adopted with the ever-present proviso that they can be amended at any time in the future as necessary. That brings us to number five, review of the central services formula. And for this item, I have asked Chris Corey, former chair of this committee, to discuss with us the central services formula. And the reason I did that is more than anyone else in Pacifica that I could think of, he is the one who I think has the most expertise in it. There may be others, such as our Paul, who are very familiar with it. And there may be yet others who even know more about it than Chris. I don't know who they are, though. And Chris is was kind enough to offer to come here to discuss it with us. And so I asked him to prepare a little something, but I know he can wing it if need be. So, Chris, why don't I give you the floor and take as little or as much time as you want, and we can come back to you, you know, as much as necessary, and just talk to us a little bit about central services, maybe give us a little history, tell us what the formula is consists of, you know, how it's, you know, attempting to fulfill the needs of the national office, and, you know, give us your thoughts, share your thoughts.
Okay. All right.
Thank
First
you.
Of all, I want to thank you, James. First of all, I want to thank James for inviting me to speak on this subject. I have given it a lot of thought over the years. It was one of the things that I was pushing for week after week for many, many months before we finally adopted a formula. I should have put adopted in quotations in my last term as chair, I believe. And it was never really implemented, and I think that's unfortunate, but there was a lot of work done at that time. Dwayne Lark was still on the committee, just to let everybody know how far back this dates. So I also want to thank everybody who's serving on this committee. It's a largely thankless job, and I don't think that people within the organization appreciate people on the on the NFC as much as they probably should. But I appreciate you, and I thank you for being here. So let's see. First of all, a little background. The central services formula has pretty much been a fixed object for the last, it's been over a decade. And the way it was fixed was that every station, and I'm sure that some of you are aware of this, maybe all of you are, every station was paying 15% of revenues in, I believe it was a long time ago. So this would have been like based on 2009 or 2010 revenues. It's way back there. And, I can't remember the exact date and I don't have my notes with me right now. So I'm just going to have to leave it to you to figure that part of it out. But of course, revenues have declined significantly since that time. And so, some stations were paying significantly more than 15% of revenue, and other stations and WBAI, even though they had lost revenue during that period, they were originally slated to pay 8%. They were given a discounted rate because the station was in trouble and could use the break. And so it was decided that WBAI would pay 8%, but by the end, that that 8% by the end of the period in question, namely now, it's closer to 15%, as it turns out, as well. If people are wondering how this 15% was arrived at initially, I wasn't part of Pacifica at that time, but I'm imagining that it was set at 15% for the same reason that I'm suggesting that it be set at 15% now. And that's that the national office basically needs about 15% of the revenues from the stations in order to fulfill the functions of the national office. Now, one of the questions that I wanted to ask the committee is if we had actually had, and I realize this would probably just take one meeting. You might want to consider doing a special meeting if you haven't done this, just to discuss what the national office is supposed to be doing. Because I think that in Pacifica, there is a widespread perception that the national office basically is like taxation without representation or something. You know, it's felt the same way as personal income taxes or property taxes or any other type of tax that people feel about taxes, because it goes into a black hole and they don't see how it's serving them in any particular way. And I think it's important for Pacifica to understand that the work that the national office does is important to the organization. It's not just important, it's crucial to the organization. So what the function of the national office and the function of the revenues that are provided in the national office is to provide the services that are used systemically to the organization and to take care of the expenses that are borne only by Pacifica as a corporation. So I think that one of the things that should be placed in that, you know, just as an example, would be legal expenses. And, you know, I'm not just making that case because there's so many legal expenses that are being attributed to KPFA right now. I really am not. I seriously am not. I'm saying it because only the national office can really pay for those expenses. It because they are the embodiment of the corporation. So anything that has a corporate name on it should all to the national office. But that is for you guys to discuss. I hope you have that discussion. I think it would be fruitful to have it. And I highly recommend that you do it before you finally adopt a formula. But the 15%, when we came up with it a couple of years ago, would have covered the national office's expenses and left maybe about a 20% surplus. And I realize that, you know, there are quite a few people in the organization that feel that the national office shouldn't have any surplus. And I get that. I really do. It's like, why are we making that division profitable, quote unquote, when all the other divisions are losing money? Well, there's a good reason for it. And that's that when there are exigent expenses associated with the corporation, like a lawsuit, for example, or like a natural disaster, or like a, you know, a building that just is falling apart and needs to be repaired or replaced, the national office should have sufficient capital to step in and take care of that, if not entirely, at least partially. And if we are going to starve the national office to the point where it has no revenue whatsoever in its coffers, then absorbing the shocks that periodically envelop Pacifica, in fact, envelop it far too often, I would argue, is going to be impossible. It's just not going to happen. So I would not try to fund the national office at the absolute minimum. I would fund it at maybe 20% over what we feel the absolute minimum would be, and build some reserves so that it can take care of emergencies. And if it turns out that fund gets excessive, it could always be dispersed to the divisions. There's no reason it has to hold it back. And in fact, that's exactly what Lyndon Foley's proposal with the, I believe, the second round of PPP did. It peppered the PPP through the organization rather than leaving it in the national office, because the individual stations needed it. And I approved of that because I thought it was wise at the time, because the stations needed the revenue. I mean, they still do. We are still in revenue difficulties systemically. And therefore, the national office is kind of the last thing on everybody's radar for something to pay. And that's why it is having such great difficulty maintaining balance. And I'm very, very concerned that this continual underpayment of the national office is going to adversely affect it. So I realize that there's a proposal on the table to have the two stations that are suffering the most pay at 8%. And at least at the proximate level, I don't have a particularly strong argument against that, because they aren't probably not going to be able to pay it any more than 8%. However, I will say this, I would like that policy. I would like that to be reviewed every year. And additionally, it would be good to synchronize the central service fees to annual revenue once a year, so that you don't get this 10-year drift or 15-year drift. It's over 10 years now. I can't remember the exact number, but this over 10-year drift that we have right now, where stations' revenues rise and fall, but their central services stay the same. It just clearly doesn't make any sense to do it that way. It's not a fixed object. Neither are the expenses at the national office, and that they should float with the entire network. I think that's the wisest, most prudent way to do it, and it would help the budgets of the stations that are underperforming. And it would also place a greater burden on the stations that are overperforming, if that ever occurs. When that occurs, I would like to say. So I guess what I would say is that what I would recommend doing is just sticking with the 15%, renew it annually, and synchronize it with the revenues at the stations. But I know that there is a strong push to have two of the stations at 8%. And if you decide to do that, I would strongly suggest that that you review that policy annually, so that when those stations are become gainful, or when they turn out to be the best performing stations instead of the least performing stations, that they're no longer paying at the reduced rate, which would no longer make sense at that juncture. So I think that having said all that, I think that if you run through the numbers, I haven't done this yet, but I will. I'm away right now, but I'll be back next week. I can run through the numbers with 15% for three of the stations and 8% at two of the stations, and see if that even comes remotely close to the 1.2 to 1.4 million that the national office needed the last time I checked. And hopefully it does. But the other thing is that with Netagon at this juncture, those expenses have been greatly reduced. So maybe it'll all work out. It might pencil out. I haven't seen any recent numbers from the organization, so I can't say with any certainty that it would pencil out, but it wouldn't surprise me if it did. So
may I interject right now?
Sure.
Just
no, I was just about finished, by the way. Sure.
I appreciate that. I'll let you go right back to it. I just wanted to let you know, for your own information and for everyone else's, that Stephanie and Markeisha, our new national business manager, have, of course, been running those numbers, and that's the number that she came up with as well. So please continue.
Okay, good. Okay. I'm wondering whether she was hoping that there would be any extra padding with that revenue level. I honestly don't know. And I haven't spoken to Stephanie in at least 2 months now. Yeah, I would like, I'd certainly like the opportunity to review whatever you guys come up with, and just, you know, and just tell you whether it makes sense to me. You know, it's of course, I'm not a member of this committee. You guys can do whatever you like with that information, dismiss it, embrace it. It's fine with me. But I have committed quite a bit of time and resources to looking at this. I think it would be good for the committee to at least have a third opinion.
Thank you.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah, you're welcome. I can hear you, James.
I got a phone call coming in. I'm trying to hang up on it, and it's not letting me. There we go. Whoever said thank you, I appreciate that.
That's Teresa. I'm on the call. Teresa
Allen. She's here with us now. I'd said to everyone that you would be here, and I'm glad you are. So Yeah. Thank you, Chris. And I would certainly be, you know, very happy to see your review of those numbers. And I think, you know, perhaps you could even come back and we'll do a review of that with the committee if you'd be so willing. However, I want to say that perhaps tonight we can just go ahead and adopt that formula after some, you know, we just discuss it and see how the members feel about it. Because I, as I say, I think you've looked at it, I've looked at it, Stephanie's looked at it, Markeisha, and the numbers look pretty good. I wouldn't say that there's a 20% surplus built into it, but it's not terrible. And, you know, it's just a prediction. And, you know, it's all depending
right.
Sorry,
James. Speaking out of order.
No worry. Go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say that I think the whatever the proposed budget is, it should at least cover the national office expenses. You know, it fails to do that. And I would imagine that if Stephanie has put her a stamp of approval on it, that it probably does. But it would be really worrisome if even in the abstract, which is how the central services formula has been implemented for the last 15 years, it isn't balancing the books for the central office, then it's pointless. You know, we got to at least get it to the point where it's at least covering expenses, hopefully with, like I say, a little bit of surplus. Anyway, I guess that's my 2 cents worth.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that very much. And before I open this to the committee, I just want to comment on that. As you know, we have had, you know, revenue going down, expenses going up, and some of that is beginning to turn around. But, of course, it all depends on what happens with the revenue. And as far as the expenses go, as you also know, we're involved in some lawsuits. You know, it's a historic situation. And that national budget always changes with the legal landscape, as you are well aware. So, so there you have it. And, Chris, I thought that was a really good synopsis. In fact, I had done my own synopsis, and you were keeping point by point with me right up until my fourth or fifth point. You were hitting exactly what I was hoping you would. And I think that was very nice. I want to ask one more thing. Paul is the senior member in terms of time on this committee and as a treasurer in Pacifica, I think. And Paul, I just wanted to ask you if you, and I didn't ask him in advance about this, I just want to ask if you have anything to add to what Chris was saying, or if you, you know, find what Chris was saying to be, you know, pretty good presentation of your experience of the history.
Yeah, I mean, basically a serious part of it is that some stations have just been unable to pay their central services fees, and that is a part of the problem. By the way, I'll also add that I forwarded something that I sent out last October, and it contains the current motion regarding central services fees that was the last thing we passed and is officially what's the big rule in Pacifica about central services at this time. It was passed on January 19th, 2021. So I sent that to the mailing list. The other thing is it isn't just the national office. We also have to consider PRA, which we figure should get some central services and not have to go on the air all the time to raise money.
James, could I make a little comment about that? So our Paul is exactly right. When we adopted the second central service formula, we completely neglected to discuss the PRA. And I guess I could say that I was completely relieved that we had actually addressed the central services formula. And I was hoping to get to the PRA, but we actually never in fact did. So yes, that one is still, however, well over a decade set in patterns. And it's also more chronically underfunded than the national office. I think it's treated like a tip at a restaurant or something. You know, the stations have not been very diligent about paying that particular thing. And it is a separate item right now. We could fold it into central services. It would add to the percentages if we did that. I don't have any particular objection to that, if that's how we want to handle it, or we could keep it as a separate number. But that number should also be set and revised annually if we do that. And yes, that is a remaining undone thing at this juncture that needs separate consideration or inclusion into this whole discussion.
Thank you for that. Okay. Now, why don't we open it up to the committee and see what else anybody else has to say? Is there a stack?
This is Sharon.
I have a brief question.
Yeah. Beth? And did I hear someone else?
Sharon.
Anybody else?
Thank you. I can be brief.
Pardon me, Beth?
I can be brief.
Okay. Yeah, I've got you and Sharon. I'm just waiting to see if anybody else. Okay, Beth, go ahead.
Is there a current report or current figures on current P&O annual costs?
I don't know if there's a report. We know what the expenses were last year. You know, the actuals.
That was the one budget we didn't get to last year.
Yeah.
I believe that Stephanie prepared it. Sorry, I keep talking like this is a conversation. I apologize, James.
Well, no, don't worry, Chris. It is a committee, and we are, you know, less formal. And that certainly is a good contribution. Yeah, I think you're right about that. But I think Beth is one who likes to see things in writing, which I appreciate. And I'm just thinking, is there an actual report? And there's not a separate report. Of course, you know, we have the consolidated financials, which we just were able to complete not that long ago because Great Plains was down for so long. So I think the answer is no, Beth, no report. Did you want to continue?
No, other than to say that just it would be good to know what the objective is, what's our target figure, and what we're trying to, rather than just comparing relative, you know, percentages. It would be good to have dollars.
Yeah, I think.
Thank you.
Chris mentioned about 1.2 to 1.4, and I think that's accurate and that's pretty good. But we know it can change, especially with, you know, the times, you know, if a recession happens or whatever. So I think that's a reasonable goal. But, you know, as we know, these are all just predictions. So I don't think we have to get it exactly right. And as Chris has suggested, you know, the job of the committee is to monitor this as we go along and adjust it, as well as, you know, to follow the budgets and see how they're being complied with and make adjustments as appropriate. So I think that's the objective. Okay, Sharon?
Okay, well, I kind of had the same question as Beth, because it's very obscure to me what we're actually talking about. I am not even clear if the 1.2 to 1.4 million is the expenses that the national office has incurred, or whether that's the amount of money that we expect to get from the proposal. And I'm also not sure whether the proposal is for all the stations to pay 15% or for them to pay 15% and some to pay 8%. So my point is, it's very unclear what we're talking about. And as you know, I always like to talk about numbers. So I would like to see numbers, like what is the actual expenses of the Pacifica National Office? And then, you know, they're breaking down, you know, based on last year's revenues, we could calculate, you know, if 15% of the revenue is expected to be this much central services and add it all up and see if it equals the amount of money of the expenses of the national office. So that is what I would like to see, because I don't see why we're even, I really appreciate that ARPAL actually gave us the motion that we passed. I was on this committee when we passed that motion, and I remember very in-depth discussions about all of this. So are we attempting to amend the motion that has already been passed? This is, I guess, my sort of general questions about what this conversation is about.
Okay, well, I think, and I appreciate all of that. I think I'll start by saying the motion, that was the 2021 motion, ARPAL?
Yes.
Where we went to...
Do you want me to read it?
It's
15%.
That's the one. This is the one that we passed, but that wasn't implemented.
Yes, yeah, sort of not implemented. That the central services formula be based on 15% of total revenue of the stations calculated quarterly. All revenue is to be included in the calculations. However, the cost of air conditioning for Pacifica Radio Archives shall be deducted from KPFK's revenue, and the tower, studio, and office rent for all stations shall be deducted from their revenue.
Right.
Yeah, so may I comment, James? Sorry.
Yeah, I was just about to probably say what you're about to say, but go ahead.
Okay. So I think that there was some stuff in that proposal that that was missed, and I think the quarterly revenue adjustment was a bit onerous and made making central services payment calculations four times as complicated as they needed to be. That was my opinion when we passed that motion, and still my opinion. So I would suggest that we remove the quarterly updating from it. And also there are expenses associated with stations that own property too, that are fixed expenses such as property taxes. That was one of the things that KPFA most strongly objected to. And I would imagine that that T would have that objection as well. I think that was kind of it. There might be some other stuff that I'm forgetting right now, but I think that was it.
Well, I think the air conditioning question at KPFK may be going away, but of course then there's going to be a whole other series of expenses connected
questions
with the archives.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I don't think we know what they are yet, so... again, it's kind of a ballpark thing we're looking at here. I think what we're talking about now is eliminating the exceptions that we had for the rental. And just saying 15%, your expenses are what your expenses are. And that's what we expect. You know, I think we've beat this horse a few times. And I was proposing we do it like income taxes, where people get deductions for certain things and others are, and I hope this is not considered prejudicial, but I think it kind of represents what we're talking about. Others have said, well, no, we should just have a flat tax and have it be a set percentage of everyone's income. And there's a lot of reasonable arguments around that. And so as kind of a compromise, what I was hoping to do was give a transition period to the two most suffering stations, WBAI and KPFK, of maybe a year at 8%, and then ratchet that back up to wherever we are with everybody else the next time we do this, which should be next year. And while I agree with you, Chris, about annual review, what we should be doing is at least quarterly, but, you know, kind of constantly monitoring this. And of course, management will be doing that. That we'll be expect to be hearing about that in our reports from the executive director. And so, you know, that is part of what we'll be doing.
Yeah, if I can just make one more comment, I'm just referring to adjusting the central service formula, like, or not the central service formula, but the central service payment amount quarterly. It just is a lot of extra work. And the thing that worries me the most about it is that, you know, delays in the financials can mess that up as well. It just puts a lot of pressure on the entire organization to be constantly fiddling with the numbers every 3 months. It would be better if they just could set their budget at the beginning of the year and stick to it, or try to. And I understand that revenues can drift during the year. That definitely does happen. Historically, it doesn't happen that often. But occasionally, you know, revenues fall off precipitously. And I guess those stations could ask for special dispensation in those circumstances. But I don't know. I think it makes it overly complicated for the rest of the stations that have relatively stable revenue. Anyway, just my 2 cents again.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And perhaps I misspoke, but what I meant to say was that, yes, we should be. It's just like with the budgets. You don't just
exactly.
pass a budget and then that's it, and you come back to it next year and do it again, or, you know, make changes. You monitor it, and, you know, same with central services, obviously.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, we should monitor things like monthly if we could, but I realize that, you know, think that's what the NFC does.
Yeah, quarterly would be a little more realistic if we could even get budgets passed to begin with. So
totally.
You're right.
That's
pretty ambitious. And of course, that's what management in theory is doing day by day. And so, of course, we'll expect to hear if there's things going on that are good or bad with that. We'll hear about it. Sharon, did you have any follow-ups?
Yeah, actually.
Go ahead.
So, I mean, I just want to say I definitely agree with the quarterly concept being too often to evaluate for many reasons that Chris said, and also just for basic budget planning by the stations. It's nice to know what your expense is going to be for the year. I don't think that's unreasonable to have yearly. And I think, if I recall from our discussions, it was originally at rolling average of 3 years or something like that that was going to be used to calculate the 15%. But anyway, yes, the quarterly, I think we all agree, is a bit excessive. I still believe that all of the stations should. I'm not sure about counting out the I appreciate what Chris said about, yes, there are expenses that other stations have, like, for example, KPFA, yes, we have to pay the property tax and other expenses that are fixed expenses, and perhaps those should be included as well. I remember there was a lot of discussion about these things. And, you know, yeah, you can go back and forth with 15% flat, you might call it tax or whatever, 15% of revenue, or else you could deduct things. I don't have a lot of opinions either way on that. My main opinion is that all stations should be paying the same percentage. And I'm going to say, for a somewhat philosophical reason, even though I like to talk about numbers, because I believe that WBAI, which owes over $8 million to the Pacifica Foundation as a whole, it's time for it to step up and stop expecting excuses to be made for its failure to make its payments. And we were just discussing the WBAI budget for the last two meetings, and we didn't see a balanced budget. So even are the central service payments going to be made at all? For all these reasons, I believe that 15% is the fair number for all the stations. The mission statement says that the stations are to be as self-sustaining as possible. And that means each station, not just relying on one station. Those are my comments.
Our poll for staff?
I was going to ask Sharon a question, but go ahead, our poll.
Okay. This $8 million you're saying WBAI owes to Pacifica, where is that? I'm seeing a guy spread. already this all over the various mailing lists, and he's even citing the – could you please not try to talk over me? Please don't try to talk over me.
I'll share the meeting. I was just going to ask Sharon to suspend until you finish your thoughts, and then we'll go to her. Go ahead, Arpal.
So this guy is spreading this $8 million thing all over the various mailing lists, even claiming that somewhere in the NFC we have codified this or something. I'd like to see where that is, because I don't know that WBAI has an $8 million bill hanging off it at this point in time. And if it does, I'd sure like to see those numbers. So if you can tell me where that is, I'd like to know about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Arpal. Yeah, I'll just let Sharon answer the question.
I wasn't trying to talk for him. I was just trying to answer. It's on the Pacifica.org website under the audited financial documents. That's all I was trying to say.
Right. And Sharon, do you know what percentage of that number is for central services as opposed to external debt?
I don't have that kind of number. I don't know that.
Okay. I think it's 75 or 80%, something like that. And also, does that number, do you know, does that include, I think I don't remember what year it was, but there was a time when they decided to do a clean slate, much like Stephanie was talking about a few months ago. Because Stephanie's talking about it because she thinks it's just too complicated to figure out who owes who what, based on the central services formula that we passed in 2021, it wasn't really implemented. And then the fact that some stations were using, I think at least one station was using a formula that was 10 years old. Others were using a formula that was 5 years old. It had been updated at another time, and WBAI adapted that, but nobody else did. So the thought was it's just too complicated to go back and figure all of that out. And so that's why Stephanie was talking about another clean slate, but there had been a previous clean slate where I think they wiped out maybe $4 million, not wiped out, but they just took it off the books of WBAI so-called debt, which again is for the central services. And as the general manager of WBAI likes to point out, that it is equal to the amount of CPB money that we used to get. That is the total of our current deficit and our deficit through the years. So if we hadn't somehow lost the CPB funding, WBAI wouldn't be in debt. And of course, also, some of the WBAI debt was based on decisions that were made at the national office, such as to locate us on Wall Street, 120 Wall Street, and to put us into the Empire State Building and sign that contract that became very onerous with a wildly escalating rent over time. So it becomes a little... it doesn't help understanding to just talk about WBAI debt, because it was all done in the context of Pacifica National Board decisions. That's something we can look into further, of course. Go ahead, Sharon.
Well, okay. I think it's helpful to have this discussion. Actually, I appreciate it, James. I appreciate what you just said about the central services as being to 75 to 80% of the $8.6 million. That is stated on the audited documents, because I didn't know that. And even if I assume that's true, that still means there's, over a million in real hard numbers that are owed. But just to go over numbers in general, I'm not arguing with you about it. I'm just talking, okay, talking numbers. All right. So then there's also the $3.2 million that was incurred by WBAI as a result of the Empire State Realty Trust judgment that was against WBAI for the tower rent, but of course was attributed to Pacifica, so I believe isn't being carried on WBAI's books and isn't shown as part of that debt. And then also just on the other side of that, Pacifica itself owes over $1 million to KPFA, and that money has already been written off and just written below the line and isn't talked about anymore in some previous reset of the numbers. So what I'm saying is that when the reset constantly goes one way, where KPFA puts the money in and WBAI and potentially other stations take it out, there's a point where that's just not functional for the organization as a whole, and it's essentially just not fair. WBAI has had 10 years of failing budgets. That is more than enough time to come up with programming. And I'm just going to say, I was shocked last NFC meeting to hear that the program director of the WBAI said that programs that are losing money, she's just not going to take them off the air. Okay, well, that might explain why there's a failing budget at WBAI. That's not exactly what she said, but she said something along those lines. Those are my comments.
Thank you, Sharon. Yeah, and I don't want to, you know, continue in this for too long, and I don't mean to be arguing with you either, but I guess I think there's some element of truth that some programs that don't make any money have a place in Pacifica, but of course all the programs can't be in that category, or we can't have, you know, five programs carrying the other many programs. That doesn't work either. And as far as the $3.2 million Empire State settlement, that was exactly what I was talking about. That's, of course, we got the FJC loan to cover that. And that was because the national office decided to put WBI in the Empire State Building and signed a terrible contract with huge escalating rent allowances in it. And that became very difficult. And, of course, then there was the whole CPB failure. And if you add up the CPB money that WBI used to get and hasn't gotten for so many years, that is basically the same number as our deficit. So, and I don't think it was WBAI, quote unquote, as if WBAI was an entity. We keep talking about these things as if this thing is an entity that remains the same. It's not. It's a whole different set of people now than it was a year ago, than it was 5 years ago. So these things are all changing, but well, I think I've rambled enough about that. Let's just
if I could, James, just one comment that I have to make
absolutely.
On the CPB.
Please go ahead.
Okay,
absolutely.
You know, here's the thing about the CPB funding. First, you know, my position is I don't personally believe in government funding. I mean, as I've stated before, I can, as we've just seen with the whole Twitter files imbroglio, having government hands in media is really not what you want, okay? But leaving that aside. The fact is that the CPB funding was lost because of things that were happening at WBAI and of the failure of reporting of members, not just at WBAI, but there was a failure of, like, there was some tickets that were being sold improperly. I can't even remember all the details. Just to say, you know, you can't say, oh, well, we should have that money when it was sort of the actions of WBAI, not just WBAI, others across the network as well, but that all of that led to the loss of the funding. You see, it's not just like the funding just goes away. There's reasons why that happened. That was my only comment.
Yeah, I think I heard somebody commenting in the background, but I'm just going to say that, again, we, you know, sometimes in Pacifica we have completely opposite narratives. And it's, as you pointed out, Sharon, it's good to have these conversations so that we can help each other understand where we're coming from. But I did understand that there were some things in nationally around the networks that happened around the stations, rather, and at WBI too, which, you know, not announcing meetings properly according to CPB regulations. Then we had problems with our audience in some stations. But I also have heard a narrative that the real reason we lost it was because the accounting fell apart, and that actually the genesis of that was at KPFA, and that we couldn't get our audits completed. I don't actually know the truth of that because it was many years ago and I wasn't here, And of course, we're not very good at keeping records about those sorts of things. So you have to kind of listen to, you know, the different people telling the stories and try to figure out as best you can what's the reality there. You know, maybe someday somebody will write this history.
One last
hold on, please, everybody, hold on. I heard Teresa, and I think was that Sharon trying to have one last comment?
Yes, just one.
Which I will give you in just a moment. And I'll just do it now. Go ahead. I lost my train of thought.
Thank you so much. I really just want to address the last point. I don't want to argue. I think it's good to air these things out. I have looked at the letter from the CPB dated 2013 or whenever it first was that came out when they were first saying the things, and there was nothing in there about audits from KPFA. That's all I'm going to say. That's the only evidence I've ever seen.
Okay. If you're talking about the one that they are saying have said recently that we still have to comply with before we go ahead.
No, from 2013. I'll send it to you later. I'll find it and I'll send it to you.
No, I think I know which one you're talking about. And that was when we were trying to get, we were making inquiries about getting back in. They referred to that letter. I think that's the same letter. And they said, you haven't done this yet. You still need to do these things before we can even talk about reapplying successfully. I'm pretty sure that's the same letter, but that's okay. We can sort that out afterwards. Yeah, that's all good. Okay. That was a long back and forth, but I appreciate engaging in that. Chris, are you still here?
I am. Yeah. And I do have a few closing remarks I'd like to make. Can I move to extend for 10 minutes? I can't make a motion. I can't make a motion, actually. Someone else has to make it for me.
You can suggest a motion. And yes, we want you
someone else will have to move it.
Chris, yeah,
Beth
somebody else will move it. But let me just ask you
Beth
how I think. Hold on, Beth. Chris, do you have a plane to catch or something?
No. I told somebody that I would meet them at 9 o'clock here in Austin, and it won't take me 15 minutes to get there. So I got 10 minutes is what I have.
Okay, good. And Beth, what were you moving or seconding?
To extend for 10 minutes, and I do still have questions or comments I'd like to make after Chris. Thanks.
Okay,
is there any objection?
I'm sorry, I'll just hold on a second.
Go ahead, James.
Extending for 10 minutes?
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, is Teresa Allen on the stand?
I believe she was, yeah. So we're extended for 10 minutes. Let's go to Teresa.
Are we still connected?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's you. There you are. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. If I hope that Chris will maybe address some of the things that were just brought up, accusations about who is responsible for losing CPB money. I do feel that we have to hold our units responsible for not paying their national office the service fees, because that's what we use to pay the auditor. And I specifically remember being on a call where somebody was saying, well, we have the money, but shall we pay? I don't think we ought to pay the auditor, and which was crazy. And these units need to be responsible to pay into central services to pay for those things like audits and personnel and the corporate counsel, and that they need to be held accountable for that. So I'm going to hold whoever's responsible for holding up the audit, which you know, is keeping us from getting CPB money. And there were several situations at several stations, but one of them was a situation involving tickets that were not reported to CPB the way they wanted them reported. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Teresa. I think there was also a question of stations. I'm sorry, I got an echo. I was listening to myself talk. That was confusing. there was also an issue of revenue being reported without having backed out the cost of premiums. So entire donations were being counted as revenue when actually it should have been, you know, the donation minus the cost of the gift. So that was also an issue. I know it was an issue at WBAI. I don't know, but I suspect it may have been an issue elsewhere as well. But there were a lot of issues. In other words, there's a whole list of issues, and they were at various places around the network. And they were involving everything from audience numbers to audits to, you know, these kinds of, you know, posting the meetings and making the announcements on the air about the meetings. All these things were issues, and, you know, we have to address them all, of course, before we get more CPB money. I'm hearing an echo in my own phone. Does anybody else hear that?
Yes.
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 No, that's annoying.
It's got to be on your end, James. But nope. I just heard it on mine.
Somebody must not be anybody who's got two lines open.
Yeah, it's two lines. That's right.
James, Fred here. It appears to be Teresa's mic.
Uh-huh. Are you on speaker, Teresa? Or?
No, I'm not. I'll mute.
Okay.
Oh.
Thanks, Teresa.
All right, we'll see if that helps.
Okay.
So, Chris, you were going to
make can some I have additional a closing, remarks? Closing, yeah, closing
Absolutely.
Remarks here? Okay. So, you know, this is one of the very frustrating things about Pacifica is listening to the back and forth like I just did for the last 15 minutes here. And I'm not writing anybody for this. It's a historic thing. But what I hear is stations wanting to deflect blame to other stations. And, you know, if you look at this, I'm going to back up and give you guys the, what I see is the, you know, the 10,000 foot view here again, and just say, look, you know, WBAI was the most successful station in the network for the better part of a decade. KPFK was the most high performing station for the better part of a decade. KPFA was the best performing station for the better part of a decade. Pick your decade. During those periods of time, each of those stations could have called the other stations scofaws and underpayers and accused them of, you know, ruining the network. And I understand that there are legitimate rights.
Those words, Chris.
I didn't. I'm not actually talking about you, Sharon. I'm not actually talking about you. I'm talking about everybody because I hear this all the time. I hear this all the time.
And, you know.
I wasn't talking about you, though. I swear it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay, let's go ahead, Chris. That's okay.
Okay. So what I'm saying here, that every station has had its day in the sun, and every station has been in the toilet. And, it, you know, it's when stations are in the toilet, they should get some support, I think, from the network. And when I say the network, I mean the national office. And that's why, getting back to the central services formula, I think it's important to have, I agree with Sharon on this, that we should have as close to possible a fixed rate amount throughout the entire, because I think it leads to these grievances. I think it contributes to these grievances. That stations will see other stations as not carrying their weight. And I think it's a fair accusation to make. So the only way to get around that accusation is to stop claims with the central services formula. And I understand that there will be stations that cannot pay it. I get that, you know, and I we should avoid that at all costs, but it will happen. And, you know, I'm just saying that recording those things on the books is not an indictment against the station. It's something that needs to get worked through. All stations should be performing gainfully. And if they're not performing gainfully, then the NFC or the national office or the executive director, somebody should step in and fix that. And I understand that there just has not been the collective will to do that in Pacifica. I get that. I see that over and over again. I see it happen, as Sharon pointed out, for decades in some cases, or over a decade. But, you know, that is like, I think maybe a problem of governance that is beyond the scope of the NFC. What we're talking about tonight is the central services formula and how to best most adequately fund the central office and most fairly without developing these petty grievances between the stations and legitimate ones. Okay. I'll allow that too. I understand that there are some legitimate grievances that happen as well. You know, there's some stuff that's unfairly foisted upon stations, and there's some stuff that's fairly foisted upon stations, but that's not the business of this committee, I don't think, and particularly not the business of this committee to discuss in light of the central services formula. What we need to do is we need to construct a central services formula that covers the expenses of the national offices, as Sharon put it, and I agree with that. And I have looked into this and reviewed it, and I will do so again, by the way. And that, you know, if it's insufficient to meet the needs in the national office, it needs to be raised so that it meets the needs of the national office, because the function of the national office is extremely important in this organization. And if people don't understand why that's the case, somebody needs to explain that to them, because it's just really unfortunate, I think, that stations seem to think that's like not important, or not as important as what's going on in their own station. You know, I get that too. I understand that logic, especially when you're governing locally. And unfortunately, I think every station is governing locally in this network. We never really come together as a network, and I think it's sad, because Pacifica is such an amazing and vital thing. And for us to squabble amongst each other and fight each other when we're all in the same life raft together is, I guess, absurd is the only word I can come up with right now. It pains me to say it, but it's absurd. And we really need to find a way to get past that. And I think the central services formula, making it as uniform as possible, is one way to do that. So that's it. I thank you for inviting me. I have another meeting to get to. I appreciate you all again. And I was not calling you out, Sharon. I swear it. I see stations rise and fall. And when I suspect, I haven't been around, I don't have the institutional knowledge to say this, but I suspect when they are riding the highest crest, they are thinking of other stations as like not pulling their weight. And maybe they should. Maybe that's how they should think. But I think it's unfortunate that in this organization that we have that tendency. That's all. That's all I was saying.